So we're praying for 100 people on Sunday school, looking really good this morning, so we'll see what happens. All right, go ahead, Miss Brianna, say it out loud. Coffee. What else, Pastor Cole, any idea? What should we do? Huh? Aiming the coffee. Anybody else? Coffee? I was going more, like, what goes with coffee? Donuts? Donuts? Yeah. Chai chi. Are we going to let those that normally don't come to Sunday school enjoy that too, right? We're going to be nice. So if you guys are listening this morning on the live stream, if we get 100 in Sunday school, you guys can participate, even though it would be your first time. We'll let you come in and join us and get us some coffee and donut. We're nice here. We're nice to each other. Oh, I'm excited next week. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Let's go really quickly to the book of Matthew, chapter number 18. Keep your fingers there. I think if you need notes, there's some notes being passed. Also, let's help Miss Brianna. There's a sign up there for Old Time Baptist Church. She's attempting something for our Lord. She's going to be teaching some of the ladies' class. I was talking to her. If she doesn't mind me encouraging you guys to go, it would be a good support for her. It would be helping her too in her mission endeavor as she goes out and try to serve the Lord that way. So if you want to, there's a sign up sheet there. There's no, I feel there's no problem with any of our schedule during that time. There's a sign up sheet there if you want to go. And there's also some people already signed up for the April 8th. I know it's the weekend of Resurrection, Easter Sunday, but there's a lot going on. If we put it on the first, we had a Saturday breakfast, and then a lot of things happening. So I understand if you feel like, well, I'm going to spend time with my family during that weekend. I totally understand that. We have family coming in that weekend ourselves. So, but at any rate, those that are willing, there's a sign-up sheet there for you. It's from 2 to 5 on a Saturday, and we'll do door hangers that we did before in Eden, but we're going to do it in North Collins. So if you sign up ahead of time, we can prepare the snack ahead of time. You get a little brown bag of snacks to take with you as you go out and door hang. And hopefully the weather would be nice, and you get the chance to talk to people that are out and about and get some good interaction and let them know about the Lord. And we welcome them to Jesus Christ, first of all. And then if they're having to have no church that they're going to, we can invite them to our church. Matthew chapter number 18. I'm hoping you're there. Matthew chapter number 18 and verse number 1. We talked about real church. The whole topic of the lessons been lately that I've been teaching in the last part of the year, last year and continuing this year. And we're now to lesson 6, and it's real relationship. And we talked about that in depth. And so we go to point number 1. We go to point number 1 if you're new. Point number 1 is willful offenders. W-I-L-L. F-U-L. Now, may I put a disclaimer here? It's not that they're wanting to offend us. It's just that by sheer human, being human ourselves, we end up sometimes hurting other people because of our sin nature. All right? So when that says willful, it's not like somebody's looking around, man, I just can't wait to offend that person. I'm going to do it. That includes both those that are obnoxious and trying to find ways to hurt people. I don't think most of the people that go here don't have that intention. But a lot of times what we get hurt by is the unintentional result of us living together. And the cause of that is Matthew number 18 there, verse number 1. We find at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And we surmise that the cause of it is pride. The cause of it is pride. If you're new to Sunday school, thank you for coming, by the way. My name is Pastor Chris Barron. So welcome to Faith Bible Baptist Church. I see a lot of new people this morning. And so we're excited that you're here. And thank you for those faithful for coming this morning. And then verse 2 of Matthew 18, all the way to verse 5, God then talks to us and uses a child as an illustration to teach us humility. I don't have time to discuss that, but if you read verse 2 to verse number 5, God then tells us we should not have that attitude of who's the greatest, but then he teaches us a truth about being humble and having humility. And then there's a warning, verse number 6, and the warning is very clear that we should not offend one of these little ones, all right? In our church, we take that very seriously, and I should, in our homes, we should. We should not have any place for offending any little child. The Jesus says it'd be better if you had a millstone hang upon your neck, all right? That's very serious stuff, all right? So let's be very careful with the children around the church. And if you have any children at home, protect them. Protect them from that danger. Then we go to Matthew 18, again, in verse number 7. And it says, "Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come." So it tells you something that's very, very sad news. Offenses will happen. It must happen because of the nature of man. We are sinful men. All right? We need the grace of God to get along. We need the Spirit of God to have the fruit of the Spirit of God. All right? And those are named for us in Galatians 5. And God did not make a mistake in saying those things, characteristics in our lives that's hard to come by without God in our lives. So if you're lost today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. If I ask you, if your life were to end, and I hope it doesn't, but if your life would have to end, and death is certain, and if that happens to you, would you be able to answer this question? Are you 100% sure, with no doubt, that you would be spending eternity in heaven? You would go to heaven. And if you say, you don't have to say this out loud, but in your heart you say, "Pastor Chris, I don't know that," then you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. And later down the service here, our pastor is going to preach to us, and I'm sure the Lord's going to lead us in an invitation, what we call, and we'll give you the chance to respond to that question. And I hope that you pay attention. And I hope that you would receive Jesus Christ, because he's the way, the truth, and the life. "No man cometh unto the Father but by me," John chapter number 14 and verse number 6. Because you won't have this power and grace to do what I'm talking about today without Jesus in your life. All right? You have to have Jesus in your life to give you that power. It says, "Whoa, the world will have, just sheer because of our nature, will have offenses." And I wrote a verse here, Proverbs 18 and verse number 19. It's not in your note. If you want to write it down, it's a good verse. It's talking about brothers. "Brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city." It is possible, Christian, that we offend one of our dear brothers or sister in the faith. And so the Bible gives us ways not to do that, prevent that from happening. And the Bible gives us ways to restore that relationship if it does happen. But the warning in 7 is, look at the half of verse 7 of Matthew. "But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh." May I say this then, this phrase, "I rather be the one offended than me offend." I think we would agree with that. I'd rather be the one getting hurt rather than me the one doing the hurting. Correct? All right? And God gives us a solution to both. If you're being hurt, it doesn't make it all right for the ones that's hurting. And then if you're the one hurting, stop. Please, with a strong, passionate way I could say it without being a jerk to you, stop. Don't do it anymore. Because woe, God says, woe to that man whom offenses come. If you're a person you're seemingly noticing about yourself, and be honest with yourself, that anytime you rub shoulders with another person, maybe in a ministry here or another ministry, anytime it seems like you join a ministry or you join a group of people, it feels that you're creating problems. I'm going to say this very kindly. Check your spirit. Check your attitude about it. It could be that you're the problem. That was a good teaching that Pastor Hank Thompson used to teach me. in college, he said, Chris, you're going to be running into a whole lot of people, different culture. We went to Mexico how many times? And we had to be immersed in Mexican culture that's very different than ours, very different even the Filipino culture. And I made a mistake several times to think, well, it's the same because they kind of sound the same. They kind of eat the same thing. They love colors the same way. But then so I proceeded like, oh, I got this, and I was offending people. And I had to learn. Went to Honduras and said some things just because a certain banana looks the same. And I thought that was what it was, and I was making grave mistakes. And the missionary had to tell me, Chris, they can see you, but they should not hear you. I was a very young man at the time, and I learned my lesson to keep my mouth closed. So in life, we are causing an effect. And so we have to be careful. Are we causing a negative effect? Are we the one, as we join a certain group, they dismantle? Or are we the one that when we join the group, we help them get better and build themselves up? So let us not be the man that causes offenses. Rather, if we do, let's take some of those offenses and hurt and take it patiently. So let's continue here now. Before we keep going, let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Bless us this morning. Our time is very short. Lord, our goal is to finish what you want us to finish in this lesson. Pray that you'd help us as we move on. Thank you again for our church. Help us in this very time coming very soon that you'll put us in a quick transition here. Lord, help us as we go through that, and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. How to respond when offenses come to you. So I don't want to offend because sometimes it's hard to win over somebody you offend as a brother. That signifies somebody you get close to. When you get close to somebody and you break trust. Because when you offend somebody, you break the trust that they had with you. You earn that for a lot of good time spent and a lot of good showing them you can be trusted. And then you break that. It's harder to win them back. So please be very careful not to offend. Try not to be the one that causes that relationship to break apart. Now, there's reasons later we'll learn that you do have to come apart from a brother. And we'll learn that later. And you have to learn to discern how to apply these different principles that work together. They don't work against each other, but they work together. Matthew 18 now, verse 15. Let's read that together. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Thou hast gained thy brother. All right? We should be in the process, in the mindset of, we want favor from our brother. We want them to trust us. We want to gain their trust. We want to gain them on our team. We want them to feel we're on the same team. We want to feel, and we want them to feel, we're loyal to a good cause. We're loyal to the truth now, okay? Be careful, because some brothers sometimes are in sin and we don't want to touch the problem because we're too loyal to them, and we should be loyal to the truth. The truth should correct them. And we'll learn that lesson here in a little bit. But may I start with this? We should have some brotherhood. The Bible says brethren. Brethren, okay? We should have the idea of brotherly love, the Bible tells us. Verse 16, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Verse 17, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. And there's, we see what I was talking about. It's not that we put up with sin, but there's a process of how to deal with problem matters and issues. You do it in this order, all right? And very rare it should get to number 17. It should be very rare to get to number 17, all right? It should not be the first thing we decide to do, okay? We should give ample time to the first two, all right, before we get to that. All right, look at letter A. When we're thinking about if we're the one getting offended, we're the one getting hurt by a brother or a sister. We're the one receiving the hurt by their action, whether they're willfully doing it in the sense of they know what they're doing or they ignorantly don't know what they're doing and it's just causing an effect on us and we're getting hurt by it, all right? So letter A, you acknowledge the offense. We acknowledge the offense. Don't hide it under the rug and says, no, they really didn't mean it. It's not going to happen again. And then it happens again. You're setting yourself up to fall. All right? Now, there's another balance here that we're going to talk about that you can do first before you even go to that brother. All right? Before you even go to that brother, there's a few things you can do. All right? A lot of times, this is very uncomfortable for us to confront somebody that has hurt us. All right? It's not an easy thing to do. I guarantee you that. It's not an easy thing to do. Because we have these thoughts that flood our minds. If I do go to this brother, I can't do that. Maybe because he's been in the church longer than me. I can't talk to that respected person because he's been here longer than I am. Or you can say, I know that if I go to her, it won't do anything. It won't go anywhere. So I just won't bother. Or you can say, I just don't think I can express myself the right way. Okay? So sometimes those are some of the feelings and thoughts you have in your mind. That's why you don't want to deal with a problem. But see, sometimes a problem that is undealt with, and you have to have a lot of patience and a lot of time with problems. You don't try to fix it, force a fix, all right? Also, you have to let God help you deal with a problem with a brother. You need to be talking to the Lord. You need to be asking, how can I overcome this fault? How can I forgive this brother of mine? How can I just forget about this and not even bring it up, all right? But if it's bothering you, and you have to be very sensitive to the Holy Ghost, and he's saying to you, you can't sleep really good because it's bothering you. The solution is Matthew 18. Go to that brother alone in confidence, in a spirit of restoration, not of condemnation. In a spirit of humility, maybe there's something you're misunderstanding. It's a simple misunderstanding. They don't even know. A lot of times I go to somebody and they say, well, I didn't even know that. I'm sorry. I didn't even know that. I'll stop immediately. And I should have went to them a long time ago if it was just that. And a lot of times we don't. And God gives a solution how to do this. And it's, you have to have discernment. You have to have the Holy Ghost, okay, to do this. And if you're young in the Lord, that's why it's very important to get in a discipleship situation with an older brother or an older sister, because you can bring this up to them because they're spending time with you and they can help you. Now, if the matter cannot be revealed because it's very sensitive, then you need to go to the right authority, and you have pastors that represent that, okay? And you'll learn that here in a little bit. So if there is something that has offended you and you're not able to simply lay it at the cross and move on, then you need to deal with it. You see that attitude? If you can deal with it without even talking to them, then do that. But if you can't and it's really bothering you and your attitude is being affected, you know that when they come to church and they're there and you're like, and you have that, there's a little pit there in your stomach and you feel uneasy, then you have to deal with it, because you don't want to live with people that you love and have this attitude towards them. It's not healthy for you. Stress will kill anybody, all right? I've been watching some kind of documentary shows on how to live longer. I can't be a pastor to live longer because I have my battle is stress. I'm dealing with a situation that I need decision by, and I'm dealing to help people, and you have to hide. You can't talk to anybody about it. You're bearing that burden. So pray for our pastor. Pray for our pastor. He's saying, watch your hair, brother. It's going to turn colors. And so pray for that. God gives us the grace. God knows what he's doing, and he enables us. But look at this. If there's something that has offended you and you can't bring it along, then you have to deal with it. Okay? Acknowledge offense, not to hide them or carry them as a continual chip on our shoulder. We have this attitude, and then it turns into bitterness. And then let bitterness, it does what? It troubles you. John 14 says, don't be troubled if you believe in God. So it's opposed to what God's telling us as a Christian to live. We should not be in the spirit of fear. We should be in the spirit of what? Love and of sound mind. And so it contradicts it, so you have to deal with it. And God gives us a way to deal with it properly. Eventually, the unaddressed offense has been building in their heart, and it explodes and becomes a major relational rift, and you don't want that. All right? We must honor the body of Christ, the church, by working through issues rather than allowing them to fester. Don't let a little fox spoil the vine. Little misunderstandings lead to relational rifts in the church. Let's not do that, all right? Let's not do that. Matthew 18 resolves offenses within the assembly of believers, all right? The context of Matthew 18 is talking about the church, a brother and sister that meet together. So that's the context of it, all right? That's how we deal with it as Christians in here, all right? As a local body of believer. Personal differences within the church, all right, can be resolved in the church, all right? Look at 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 1 quickly. Dare any of you have a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints, all right? Things that we have problems with in here, God has provided the church as a way of dealing with it, all right? Dealing with it. Anything that is a smaller matter. Now, may I put a disclaimer here? When it becomes criminal, then we bring in the law. Romans 13 says that God established government for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. They are also ministering, all right? They're God's institution of authority to deal with civil problems, all right? When there's civil problems, somebody murdered somebody, Pastor Cole and I, it's not our job to deal with that. We go to the law to deal with that, all right? If there's altercation that results in criminal case, then we go to the law, all right? And we pray that our testimony then will not be destroyed as a Christian. And that's why when it's little problems, we should be able to deal with it ourselves, because what we're protecting is our testimony and the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. How hurtful do the cause of Christ for one Christian to state his negative feelings towards another Christian to the unsaved? May I encourage you with a practice? A lot of us have lost relatives that maybe we're close to, and you have a problem within the church. You say, they'll never even know those people, so let me talk to them about those people. Would you think that would be a wise idea to do? Because what you're doing is, and eventually, if the Lord does use your life to help your brother or your relatives and even come to a church, they're going to have to think about that. That, oh, there's some people there that, you know, there's going to be that uncomfortableness. So try not to do that if you could help it. Go to another brother or Christian to help you, all right, and help you tackle that. Don't tell the unsaved. For the protection of Christ's name and the protection of the church's name you go to and the protection of your name, all right? Let's not do that. Matthew 18, 15 says, moreover, if the brother shall trespass against thee, go tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Very, 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 very important that the problem stays with the two people, the offender and the offended. Don't bring anybody else in the picture at this time, because you're protecting testimonies and you're protecting others around that don't know the entire situation, all right? You have to be careful about it. Don't tell others. Start with those people. Matthew 18, 15 is very clear. An immaturity that will exasperate any type of offense is when a Christian begins spreading a relational difficulty through gossip. Through gossip. And that the same thing goes for the lost. Why would you be telling them? They would have nothing even to do with that problem. If you are hurt and you're looking for some a help to the hurt, go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. Go to prayer. Somebody hurt you and you can't bear the hurt. First thing you do as a Christian, go to Jesus about it. They've hurt me, God. Father, they've hurt me. I don't know if they knew what they did. Father, they hurt me very badly. They've done this to me very badly. All right? Don't just go to anybody and find sympathy. God will give you empathy. He knows. He's touched with the feeling of your infirmities. He knows the hurt. Go to him first and get your strength from him before you go and deal it with your brother and your sister. Counselor J. Adams commented, Jesus won't allow the unreconciled condition to continue among believers. He does not. All right? In Matthew 5, if you know that whole context of that chapter, I don't have time. If another considers you to have wronged him, Jesus says that you must go to him. So here's Matthew 5 in contrast. Matthew 5 is if you were felt led by the Lord to go to a brother that you were shown by God through circumstance or through his spirit leading you saying, you've done something wrong to that brother. God says in Matthew 5, you have the responsibility to go to that person and say to them, brother, can I talk to you in private? I felt like the last time we were together, I said these things, and the Lord's not letting me go. The Lord's letting me know that I've done something wrong, and brother, I need to settle this with you. Please forgive me. That's Matthew 5. That's if you felt like you're the one that offended somebody, because we already put the foundation. We don't want to be the offender, correct? We all believe that, right? So we can't have the attitude, I don't care how they feel, I'm just going to be me. We can't have that attitude. We can't have that attitude. In a Christian world, the Christian, ideal Christian cannot have that attitude. I don't care how they feel about me, I'm just going to do me. It's me. They have to deal with it. I understand what you're saying. You have freedom. God has given you free will. You can choose. And nobody should dictate to you what you should be able to choose. I understand that. But in Christianity, mature Christianity tells us we can't just do whatever we want to do. Because there are people that we love so much that we don't want to influence them the wrong way. And we don't want to hurt them and make a stumbling block and they fall. Sometimes our hurt feelings can be a stumbling block to somebody else. And so we have to be careful. We have to be careful and guarded. Find God to be enough to help you when you're hurting. And then bless the Lord if God gives you a trusted individual that you can expose your hurt and your vulnerability to them, and they don't do nothing but bury it and pray and help you, encourage you. Man, if God gives you people like that, whoo, you should be praising the Lord. God, thank you for those people. All right? And maybe examine yourself. Be that person to somebody else. And how much friendship you can develop with somebody. Look at in Matthew 18, the same counselor, James Adams, he says that if other person has done something wrong to you, you must go to him. And that's Matthew 18. You understand? Matthew 5 is if you're the one that's offending, go tell the brother. If you're in Matthew 18, has been offended, you go to the brother. But the point that he's saying is God doesn't want our relationship with each other, if there's a problem, to be unresolved. There might be a time you have to take on. There's a problem that's very, very bad. And there's some wisdom that some of my pastors have taught me. I think even Pastor Cole has mentioned these. But Pastor saying, don't go to them that moment. It's not the right time. Let some time pass. All right, let some time. Whoa, Ephesians 4 says, neither give place to the devil. Let not the sun go down upon thy wrath. Okay, wait, whoa. Calm down, son. All right, because if you're going to them, God gives us wisdom. If you go to them, you're going to make it worse. Right? And it's not us fixing it. That's the problem. When we go to them with that attitude, we're wanting to fix this now. Sometimes we can't. God has to fix it. All right, and so be careful with that. It's a responsible thing to do. When something has happened between you and your brother, we need to fix it. All right, because it affects our relationship in the church. And at times, it affects your relationship with the Lord. That's why the Bible says, if you say to me, you have a problem, I'm paraphrasing this in verses in 1 John. If you have a problem with a brother that you can see, and you tell me you love me, who you cannot see, I'm going to question that, see if that's actually true. That's why he brings that all up, okay? It's hard not to get mad at somebody not around. You don't have to get mad at them. They're not around. You don't feel their effects on your life. But if they're there, it's a lot harder to ignore it. So you have to let the Holy Spirit help you, all right? Some offenses we can just let go without holding it in our hearts. Praise the Lord. Someone has done some true offensive. God's plan is that you don't hide it. You don't allow bitterness to build up in your heart. You don't spread the problems to the church, but you directly fix it with the other person with God's help. All right? Pray for courage and the timing to address the problem. Pray for courage and the timing to address the problem. Always pray for a good attitude. Always pray for a good attitude. Anytime I have to deal with something serious, I always ask God, give me the right spirit. Get me in the right spirit. Get me in the right spirit. All right? Because emotion is powerful. And if you're in the wrong emotion, you'll do something you'll regret. So pray God to help you. Having a spirit of love and meekness and having an end goal of restored fellowship is vital to this process. Jesus said, if we hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. That's what we want. We want restored fellowship. All right? Romans 12, 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And that is the right attitude going into these. All right? Letter B. Approach the offender. All right? Approach the offender. Acknowledge the offense and approach the offender. First of all, we go one-on-one. Matthew 18, 15 already tells us that. All right? And it says, tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Matthew 18, 15. All right? It is important that we approach the offender in love. We emphasize having a good spirit, the spirit of God. All right? And a good spirit in your personal spirit as a human being. All right? Ephesians 4, 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. A soft answer turneth away wrath. You can talk about something that in a way that would bring peace and calmness to the situation rather than stir it up and cause a big problem. We don't need to do that, all right? The world has a good job of doing that, stirring up the pot, causing division. They're good at it. All right, their slogans, and they know how to do it. Let's not be that. Let's provide peace, and let's promote restoration, okay? Initially, we don't even mention the scenario to anyone else. We just go directly to that one person who has offended us and work for a right relationship. At times, I don't even talk to my wife about some situation that is very, very little that doesn't affect me at home. I just go to that person. My wife don't even know nothing about it. Because the problem is sometimes, guys, we can work the problem out. But here's the problem. If we tell a whole lot of people, it doesn't mean they're going to see the result of our restoration. They might still linger in them that, oh, no, so-and-so is still mad at so-and-so. Although the two of so-and-so are already buddies. But the other people that are affected still don't know that because they're not in their everyday life. They just saw this altercation happen at one place, and they don't see them again. And it's not like, hey, guys, announcement, let's see this clip again. This is what we did. Guys, this is the new clip. We're happy. We're brothers. Believe it now. We don't have that, okay? I guess Facebook does that. But I don't know. We don't have that. And so we have to be very careful. Sometimes husband and wife have to be careful at home because we might have problems with each other and then we resolve it. And if the kids see that we're having problems, they don't have the restoration in their mind. They feel like mom and dad still upset at each other. So at times, wisely, my wife and I, if we have disagreement, we try to do it aside and away from our children. Now I'm a human being. That doesn't happen all the time. So I'll give you some hope. But I want to not have it there when the children are there, because we can get restored, but then I have to have responsible now to tell them, hey, mom and dad, and we had to publicly apologize to our kids and set them down, guys, that one day you saw us and now we're restored and dad was at fault. And then sometimes mom would be kind of say, well, mom is at fault, although a lot of times it's my fault. But and they say, okay, dad, I'm so thankful for them. Okay, dad. And you know what? They don't harbor anything. Let's pray Mario Karts now, Dad. Thank you. Let's do it. Let's go outside and play ball. Okay? Don't let your hurt hurt anyone else. Okay? Don't let your hurt hurt anyone else. Don't make the offender the enemy. He's a brother. We're talking about context of Matthew's brothers. We're talking about love, people we love. All right? He's a brother. Thus treat him as a friend. Restore, not destroy. Okay? When you're approached by another Christian, your spirit should be likewise be the spirit of love. So if somebody's coming to you now and telling you that you have offended them, you should guard against defensive spirit and use that meeting as an opportunity to strengthen your relationships. You know, a lot of times it's miscommunication. A lot of times you just miscommunicated something and they misunderstood something. That's a lot of the times. Deal with offenses as quickly as possible and keep them small as possible. Most often can be dealt with by a quick and simple meeting with two spiritual Christians, one acknowledging the offense and the other asking for forgiveness. You know, the time that I've been here, we've had this situation transpire. Not in bad situation. It's just misunderstanding, and we have had it fixed, and none of you know anything about it. Is that amazing? That's how we should do it. Don't make little things big things. All right? And don't make big things little things either. All right? That's a whole topic in itself. Second, so you go to them one by one. Second approach is you bring somebody with you. If the offender refuses to admit his wrongdoing to settle the matter, the offender then must go with witnesses. Matthew 18:16. Look at Matthew 18:16. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And be careful who you bring. It's just not anybody. It's not just for the sake of there's a witness there, but somebody that's trustworthy, somebody with the same spirit you have for restoration. Somebody that can be confidential. Somebody you can trust. Okay? And so a lot of times in the church situation, when brothers and sisters have an issue, it is a wise advice to go to the man of God. Go to the man of God or a godly leader in the church and ask for help with the situation. And in the time that I've been here, we've had to do that with a few things. And guess what? None of you know anything about it. It has been good. It has been dealt with. And guess what? It doesn't affect us now, all right? So that's how we do it. 2 Corinthians 13:1. This is the third time I'm coming to you in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. See some graces there? Even the one-on-one, you take time and see if you can just forget about it with God's grace and you don't harbor bitterness before you go. And then you see another verse that says they came to him multiple times. So give them a lot of graces, all right? A lot of us want to go to the third one. Bring them to the church. I want to see this. Let's roast them. That's not the spirit of God. That's not the spirit of Jesus. So if you're a Christian, we should not want that kind of a spirit. Right? Matthew 18:17. If he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. And that's a very hard thing to do. That's a very hard thing to do. You should be weeping when that ever happens. There'd be a lot of weeping that happens if that would be the case, right? In most instances, offenses can be solved early on the first step just by a personal word of concern. Where that fails and the situation escalates, the person has often already fallen away from the church by the time you would reach to the third situation. And I've seen that in churches. A lot of times, the person that needs to be corrected don't even wait around. They leave. And so we go to the next group of people. I'm going to run this down really quick. I'm going to skip a bunch. Let's go to number two. And you find the wayward brothers. What's the wayward brothers? These are people that have fallen out of relationship in their church with the Lord. More importantly than with each other, but with the Lord. And then that resulted in them falling out with the people in the church. And then they walk away. These are the prodigals. But we have a responsibility to restore them. Galatians 6:1-2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And quickly, letter A, if the wayward brother, our responsibility to them in real relationship is what? We restore them. 1 Peter 5:8, because we have an adversary. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. We have no room to hypocritically judge those who have fallen. We have no room for that. It is our job to acknowledge their sin, yes. We don't hide their sin. We acknowledge their sin and then help to lift them from the ditch. That's our responsibility. It doesn't help to judge them. God's judging them already by his word. And by them falling away, they're going to reap some consequences of that judgment. So our job then as Christians is not to hide the sin and tolerate their misbehavior, but say, this is wrong, but we love you. We're going to restore you to the right place. All right? And we have to be very, very careful because some people don't want us to help them up. And that is hard. Have you ever been there? When the person you know needs help, they don't want it. And then you have to wait and pray and let God do the work because you can't do anything about it. God? Letter B, reinforce them. All right? Sin, reinforce them. R-E-I-N-F-O-R-C-E, reinforce. So we do restore, and then letter B, reinforce them. We set them back on their feet. Sin brings burdensome consequences into a person's life. All right? Look at 1 Peter chapter number 4 and verse number 15. It says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other man's matters. Sin brings a consequence. It tells you right that. It gives you that thought. Because of doing these things, you might suffer. And that's the consequence. So we can help them bear the burden by praying for them, reminding them God loves and cares for them, and encouraging them to continually humble themselves to receive God's sufficient grace. Romans 15:1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and to plead and not to please ourselves. And lastly, we're going to be done today. Point number 3, we have a relationship with willing servants. W-I-L-L-I-N-G. Willing servants. Who are these? These are the faithful people that sometimes we take for granted. Those that remain, the older brother. Those that remain and then do the work. All right, so we have a responsibility to them in our relationship. Letter A, we should be involved in edification. A-D-I-F-I-C-A-T-I-O-N. E-D-I-F-I-C-A-T-I-O-N. What's that? To build them up and encourage them. Let them know of the promises of God. Let them know that their labor is not vain in the Lord. Let them know that you're behind them. Let them know you appreciate them, all right? There's something about hearing the word of God from the people of God that encourages us to continue serving faithfully. We can have the ministry of the encouraging word, right? We can easily get into the spirit of expectation, and this is a problem, all right? A consumer mentality. What does that mean? Oh, yeah, so-and-so, he's been there all along. He just keeps doing that, and then we take for granted what they do, and then we go to the next level, and we expect them to do it. Like we're entitled now to their service. We do that a lot of times with faithful people. That's why I say be very careful. Just because they've always done the cooking, they've always done the watching the baby in the nursery, they've always been doing this, don't assume that they're going to be forever doing that. Care for them and ask them, hey, you've been doing this for so long. Are you still willing to do this? But you doing that, you show them appreciation. You show them appreciation. We don't assume they're just going to keep doing it. That's a lot of failure sometimes I do. I do that even with my dear wife at times. I take for granted she's just going to keep doing this. Well, she's going to get sick. Day she's sick. Day she can't do it. Oh, I can't believe it. Where's my food? And we treat each other in the church that way. We take for granted their faithfulness. And their faithfulness have served us some kind of service. And then we're very quick to say, what's up? What did you do now? Well, they've been faithful, guys. We should be careful. And we should appreciate them. Right? We should encourage them. Quickly, and we're done. B, encouragement. B, encouragement. Last point under 3, encouragement. People are knocking at the door. Encouragement. Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. William Arthur Ward said this, and I'll be done. Flatter me, and I may not believe you. Criticize me, and I may not like you. Ignore me, and I may not forgive you. Encourage me, and I will not forget you. Be in the ministering of encouragement. Those people that are faithful, ushers, people that are faithful in what they do in the church, and you know who they are. Once in a while, go to them and say, hey, I appreciate what you've done. Thank you. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things. I'm praying, Lord, bless us. Amen and amen. You are dismissed.